Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Left Wing Back podcast. Once again, it's Brian O'Donoghue sitting in and hosting for the legend that is Kevin Regan. He is still swapping out his headset for nappies and suitors and all that goes with fatherhood, but he's here with us as well. So massive congratulations on the new arrival, Kev. Hope all is going well.
Thanks a million. Yeah, we managed to slip away there for half an hour. I think that's all the permission slip assigned for. So I won't outstay my welcome here, but it is nice to be back for a brief sabbatical nonetheless.
Fair play. And our best wishes to Niamh. She obviously did all the hard work. You had a very, very small part to play in the whole thing. So we'll just say our best regards to her. I'm sure she's an avid watcher of all the GAA stuff on Left Wing Back.
Just about get a like on social media over it. Yeah. I'll take it.
It's when she falls asleep and you lean over and hit the like button on the thing. Yeah. I know you're very eager to thank a generous sponsor. So big shout outs to Earth Spaz, PFT Travel, Pat O'Hearn Photography, Murray's Ballymurphy, Ray Wheel Unlimited, Porrick Dunn Motors, Talbot Carlo and Cora Sports. We wouldn't be doing this without their support. So I know Kev is very appreciative there. There's only one place to start really, and it's arguably one of the most exciting, biggest Carlo hurling fixtures in a long, 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 long time. And that's in no way to belittle any of the Joe McDonagh wins or anything like that. But playing Galway in the championship is as good a fixture as we can look forward to this weekend, I suppose.
Ah, sure. Look, it's the one we've all been waiting for, kind of. And the big question is now at this stage, can Carlo react after what was, I would say, a soulless trying too strong? It possibly isn't too strong actually against Laois, because the reason why you might perceive it as soulless trying is that Laois, in your own mind, going into a game like that would be of equal standard to you. And when you're getting that kind of an ass whooping, it possibly would leave you a little bit down and out. But I suppose I'm sure the lads were feeling that way, but even as a supporter, you would feel that way. And you'd have probably genuine concerns going into a Leinster Senior Hurling Championship against a team who are much more superior to what Laois are. Having said that, though, there was a game there over the past couple of weeks against Offaly, and I am led to believe that Carlo gave them quite a tanking in that. So In terms of getting back on their feet and getting the wheels back on the wagon and all that, they seem to have had behind the scenes. But of course, the acid test is this Sunday. But yeah, what again to look forward to. And I think the last time they met, Brian, was in 2019 when Carlo last featured in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. There was only 6 points in it on that day, and it was in Salt Hill as well. Galway 124, Carlo 118. So, yeah, genuine intrigue.
Let's go back for a second to 2013, right? Mm-hmm. National League, doubleheader in the Gaelic grounds. Carlo in Division 4 in football against Limerick, and Carlo v Limerick in the hurling, right? Mm-hmm. The headlines the following on the Monday were how close Carlo came to beating Limerick. I think it was 3-10 to 116 or something like that. No, that'd be a draw. 3-10 to 16 points. Whatever it was, I think Limerick won by a goal. Won by 3 points. And who reminded me of this during the week was young man is Malai. Because he said to me, do you remember where, because we all went to travel together in separate cars. And he just said, when you look now at 10, 11 years later, Limerick are going for five All-Irelands, or is it six out of seven, or five, going for five All-Irelands, and you know, in fairness, the Carlo progression has been fantastic as well, just on a proportionately different scale. But it's fascinating to think that 10 years ago there was 3 points between those two teams, and here we are 10 years later, and that look what Limerick have become, and it's just. Just an aside, I suppose, Kev.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Like, and I suppose in many ways, it's probably chalk and cheese, or apples to oranges, or all those cliches, because Limerick got like once in a generation type players coming through over a sequence of a couple of years, and they're constantly adding to that. Like your Aaron or your Cottle O'Neills, and you know, young English and all that. You know, they're topping up the tank every year, like Kenny kind of used to do. And I think where we have to be commended, I suppose, Brian, is if you look at the crop of players from 2013 up until, okay, it changed a little bit up to maybe 2017, 2018 as well, when they won the Chris Ring and John McDonagh back-to-back. Mm-hmm. The point I'm going to make is that we've constantly rebuilt and we've constantly kind of kept ourselves at a level where we can trouble top tier teams and cause them a few problems. And okay, occasionally we'll have one result that will make us think that we're after dropping back into the pack a bit. And you'd be forgiven for thinking that after the Leash game, but I wouldn't be losing all hope whatsoever, because I do know at the back of it that this is the championship that they have been preparing for. So I think if you look at where we're coming from with the selection we have, and the fact that we have sustained our efforts at senior level against these top flight teams, that we can cause them a few headaches. Okay, you can argue that we haven't yet taken that big scalp. I am not too sure that that's entirely impossible over the next, say, whatever it is, period of, say, 6 or 7 odd weeks. And I do know that they are confident of taking a scalp. And, like, if you were able to take a scalp before you head maybe to Antrim on the last day, Jesus, like, you'd have fair momentum. You'd have a fair buzz. Like, Jesus, like, you have Dublin, Kilkenny and Wexford coming to Netwatch Cullen Park. I'll actually just give the fixtures really quickly. This Sunday, obviously, of course, 2 o'clock in Pirr Stadium. It is Carlow versus Galway up there. They are at home then the following Saturday evening at 6 o'clock in Netwatch Cullen Park to Dublin. And then you've got a couple of weeks of a gap. Again, it's a Saturday fixture on the 11th of May in Netwatch Cullen Park, 4:30 at home to Kilkenny. Like, these fixtures alone, just to be reading about. The following Sunday after that, home advantage once more against Wexford. That's the 19th of May at 3 o'clock. And then the 26th of May, they're up to Corrigan Park against Antrim. Now, a lot of the cynics, and maybe the realists, you can call them wherever you like, would be saying, okay, that game against Antrim is the one that will decide where we're going to stay or whether we're going to go. But there is a hint of optimism that Carlow have ambitions a little bit higher than that. So where are we in reality? It is very hard to tell. But I do have to hammer home the fact once more that where we were, like, just say in the mid-noughties, and where we got to in around the turn, what do you call that particular decade when it goes from 2010 to 2020? I don't have a particular name. But anyway, that period of time, you know, they really turned the screw. They had beaten Wexford in the league. They came with a point of beating... No, they lost by a point to Clare. That's what it was, yeah. I remember Shane Kavanagh's free still. Jeez, and I know it still haunts him because I've spoken to him about it a few times. And that game against Limerick, as you spoke about. And yeah, here we are, getting another crack at all these teams. We haven't slipped back. There's other teams that have gone back into the pack, like, and Jesus, it's seriously exciting. Really, really exciting. And not beyond
and Henry, Henry Shefflin and Galway, right, are genuinely worried about playing Carlow. They're even bringing back Johnny Glynn.
The big dog, yeah. Jesus.
And let's start a rumour. They're paying thousands to fly him over for the... but just got to show you though that the caliber that Galway have, and these Carlow boys have 100% earned the right to be in the same competition and on the same pitch as them, you know. And just looking at the team that started against Limerick that day in the Gaelic grounds, Nicky Roberts is in the goal, Hugh Paddy cornerback, Owen Nolan fullback, Des Shaw in the other corner, James O'Hara, Richard Cody, D Byrne, and I presume that's Derek Byrne, yeah. And then actually, Dermot come on for him in the second half, would you believe? And then you had Mark Brennan, Edward Cody, Seamus Murphy. Who was the S Murphy?
It's there probably was. Or it could be Sean Murphy, actually. Sean Murphy, possibly.
Yeah, and actually, didn't Choo Choo get off against Offaly the same year?
Yeah, possibly. Harsh. Yeah, I think you're onto something there. Yeah, yeah.
If I remember, sorry. Could be, yeah. And then and Craig Dyle. When I reading those names, you're going, that was a good Carlow Hurling team, like, you know. And when you look at the names that Carlow have this year, you have the exact same attitude, like, got some of the most confident, most skillful hurlers that Carlow has ever produced all in one team at one time. So it's a great time to be a Carlow Hurling supporter, and that's coming from someone up the north of the county where we burn most of the hurlers that we get, like, you know.
Yeah, look, there has been a proper real change in the guard. There has been, like, and credit to the guys that worked so hard at underage too in around that period that I can't think of a title for, where we came within literally a poke of a ball of beating Kilkenny. They did beat Dublin. They were largely competitive against Wexford on a couple of occasions, and our current crop of leaders have come from that particular era, I suppose, which are your Mouses, your James Dials, your Chris Nolans and all these guys. They've contributed handsomely, like, and you know, they're on this platform and they belong in this platform. Like, you know, people get largely insulted when they say, oh, Marty Cavendish made the team down the road, whether it's Wexford, Kilkenny or James Dylewood. Yeah, of course they would. It goes without saying. you know, it's really a disservice to those guys that you're even trying to put that up there. They're well capable, and they're not just here to mess around either. Like, them boys mean serious business. Talking about like Johnny Glynn and all them big dogs, like I absolutely love our full back line at the minute. I don't know if Dion Wall, Horace Lauder, and Paul Dial will line out on Sunday in the full back line, but that's Hell's Kitchen right there. Like, there's no quarter given or asked. Like, if you're getting in around them, you're earning your scores, and Leash did do that, and they did earn their scores. And I think the boys knew on the day, they're like, right, that's the kick in the arse they need. Like, you know,
Hell's Kitchen is putting it mildly with them boys. You know, you'd want to be on your absolute last legs before you'd even see them boys considering throwing in a towel. Like, you know, so it's a.
And like, I mean, we have players all over the field that are capable of causing problems. Now, if you'd ask me, are they looking this game and earmarking this as the result? Possibly not. Do I think they're going to win the game? Probably not, right? And we have to be realistic about where our aspirations are. Do we think they can get to in 5 or 6 points again? Don't see why not. They not.
Okay. Let's say 67 minutes gone, right? And Carlo were in 4 points. You'd have every neutral in the country wearing red, yellow, and green, like, you know? And could you imagine then, again, Kilkenny, in a more local setting, you'd have lads coming from Wexford not all over to wear red, yellow, and green, like, so. And maybe that's been a little bit too hopeful or whatever, but you can just, like, the thought of that happening would be just, that'd be class, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think you'd have to look at the, okay, right. Well, people say the Antrim game is the one to target. No team goes to Corrigan Park and gets out of there handy. Genuinely, like, it's just the way it is up there. The biggest and best of teams have gone up there and struggled to get results. So it might sound bizarre and crazy and strange and all those things, but there's a kind of a hankering for maybe a Dublin or a Wexford game that you might be looking at a result in, as opposed to that last one. And look, you could arguably, there's no one to say that you couldn't go and win either of those two games and then go up to Corrigan Park and the win.
Yeah,
it all could come crashing down then. But you'd be very surprised where the result might come from in this particular one. You know what I mean?
100%. 100%. And what was I going to say to you as well? Is it one of the youngest Carlo hurling panels?
Yeah, like, there's not too many the wrong side of 30 on it. Surely. You know what I mean? They are... I'd say, actually, if you were to look through the lines, now I'd have to do a bit more homework on this, but the fullback line is getting an awful lot of mentions, but that couldn't really be the oldest line in the field, is it?
Yeah, and that's...
Like, Conor Lauder would be, either is or is going to be 33 this year. Paul Dial will be only 31 this year. Dion Wall is the other side of 30, definitely. Like, and I mean, I don't know what their half-back line is. I don't know if that's going to be the fullback line, but even... You know, our half-back line has plenty of mobility with Kevin Mack and McCullough, and I don't know whether Fiacre Fitzpatrick or Tony Lauder is going to be there. Like, Conor Pio, Chap, John Nolan, Chris Nolan, all these guys are still at a very, very good age. Like, and have a lot more hurling in them. It's a fair shout. It is a fair shout. Like, probably a slightly more experienced outfit, maybe going back 5-6 years ago. I'd have to see the two teams side by side now, of course. But there's genuine intrigue, and there's... Look, there's great excitement. I suppose the most important thing, you'd be hoping that, okay, I don't know what the forecast is like for the weekend, but I know for most of this week it hasn't been too bad. But Jesus, get up to Salt Hill, get your ice cream, get your bite to eat up there. You know what I mean? And take in the game and support the boys. They're worthy of it. Like,
spoke to Alan O'Reilly only this morning, and weather to be good on Sunday. Now remind me, is it Pierce Park or which is it that gets very windy?
Oh, that's Salt Hill. Yeah, it is. It's Pierce Park. Pierce Stadium. Yeah.
So,
it's rarely a good day in. Like, it could be any day of the year, you mightn't get a good day in Salt Hill. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
No, and I don't know. Yeah, sure. Look, it's great to have it to look forward to. And there's plenty more hurling this weekend, too. Sure, 20s are out on.
20s again in Westmeath. And obviously, hopefully, they'll be inspired by the result from the 20s footballers tonight. But the, Hurlers have as much to look forward to as any of our teams going to weekend, you know?
They're a serious group of players, like, and they've kind of maybe somewhat slipped under the radar in how the championship has kind of maybe unfolded and stuff. I don't know, was there high hopes or high aspirations? There probably was within the camp, but outside of that, I'm not quite sure if there was or not. And of course, our very own Joe Nolan is involved with the 20s, along with Brendan Hayden and Adrian Corcoran and all the lads there. They're doing powerful work, did a great win over Kerry. That game the other night, I did actually get to sit down and have a look at the 20s game with Kildare on Friday. Now, bear in mind that the last couple of years, by and large, Kildare have been on a slightly different trajectory to Carlow in hurling at underage level, as in a higher trajectory.
Yeah.
And are motoring quite well. And another funny one on Kildare at underage level. I don't know whether it's the white jerseys or not, but they always seem to look absolutely massive at minor and 100% level, right? And it just seemed to be a case of physique on Friday versus, like, I think we had the wristier and more skillful hurlers and played some fantastic hurling, but they were a little bit more robust. I don't think from a fitness side of things there was much in it. I think they were a little bit bigger, but I do think our lads had a bit more hurling. Like, the scoreline is largely misleading that. I think there was 6 points in it at the end. Kildare got the goal deep, deep, deep into injury time. Carlow had a couple of chances actually to get something out of it prior to that. That's how close it was coming down the tracks. And they were missing very key players. Like, Sean Wall and Paddy Dial were at the spine of the team against Kerry and both went off early. They weren't playing the other night. Ross Dermody actually went in at six and was fantastic there. A player that's really standing out for me, and it won't be an unusual name to many, is Kevin Kavanagh from Ballinkillen at centre forward. I think he's played senior hurling for whatever, two or three years, or since he's been eligible to play. I think he's been in the middle of the field for Ballinkillen seniors. And he's at centre forward for the 20s. He's just dictating play. He's head up. He's a great man to link the play, a great man to earn a free. Just really smart hurler. Donna Murphy, of course, is there too. And, you know, Donna's been moving well. I do think there's more in him. I think there's a lot more in him. And I would expect to see probably more from him and the lads on Saturday. It's 4 o'clock, I think, in Mullingar on Saturday. Now, look, we say these places are difficult places to go to. Mullingar is a difficult place to go to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't have too many pleasant memories of Mullingar. I know other people might from a different era with Carlow, but it's not always been the most pleasant place to go to for results, as far as I can remember, right? Anyway, you know, in recent memory.
No, the last decent memory I have in it, and I think it was Poacher's first year with the Footballers, or maybe it was his second year. And I think the Carlow get over Westmeath in the...
They might have got a late goal to level it. Shane O'Neill got a dinger of a goal one day up there to level it, to salvage a draw, perhaps.
There was another game where Brendan scored 5 or 6 points from play or something as well another day. So, but other than that, like, you nearly go, geez, an hour and 45 minutes to get to Mullingar, and like you're pleading for a performance nearly just to make it worth the journey. And that sounds nearly defeatist saying it, but I tell you one thing, even when you look at the that 20s hurling team, like, and similar to the seniors, so what would they have to fear about any opposition? And you'll be better at answering this question than I would. Mullingar feels like a tight spot. Like, is it Dunstores at one end?
Yeah.
You can nearly reach over, touch the far sideline. Does that tight pitch suit a Carlow style of hurling, if there is a Carlow style of hurling, or are we better off in an open, expansive area? I wouldn't know. Like,
well, look, I don't know what sort of a threat Westmead pose, or what kind of size they are, or the speedy, or whatever's going on. But when you skillful hurlers, like, you'll be able to adapt to that anyway and play anywhere. Yeah. Like, if you're a hurler, you're a hurler. I know it sounds like bacon and cabbage terminology, but like, if you're able to do it and do it to a good standard and do it at a good pace and you have a good attitude, it will take a long way. And that was actually the standout thing from the other night. I know you touched on the fetus thing or whatever, but like, with these guys, largely it is developmental. Like, okay, you want to try push on and get results. And we had minor teams that got Leinster finals previously, and we've got 21s teams that have come within a puck of a ball of Leinster finals and stuff like that. But like, things change and other teams come into the fray. And I mentioned Kildare, they've been, you know, they've possibly in some respects replaced us at underage level in terms of where we were once upon a time. But I don't think we're certainly not too far off them. And these guys have real grit. And that's what I loved about them the other night, that they didn't give in. They got stuck in. They absolutely tore into them, like, you know, and out-hurled them for long periods and have lovely, classy hurlers. And if you see a few of these guys coming on to senior, Brian, like, you know, we might have seen over the last couple of years, oh, where's the gem? Where's all these guys coming? The next thing, all of a sudden, Conor Keogh's on the senior team doing well. Jack McCullough's on the senior team doing well.
Yeah.
Paddy Boland, you know, we saw what he did in Croke Park last year. If we get a couple of these guys filtering through and they're hurling to a good standard and they come with those raw materials, the non-negotiables, as the fella said, attitude, good stick men, will put in a shift. Man, it counts for an awful lot, like, you know.
Definitely. And little things as well, like the previous game, was it last Friday evening game, 7:30?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, like awkward time for a match, you know, and maybe lads, be it college or whatever, or even arranging with parents and after work and all that kind of crack, it doesn't feel like championship as such, but a weekend game, mid-afternoon, where the excitement's able to build, like that there's a little bit of added little bit of spice to that.
Yeah, you're right. Fisher spoke about that recently to us when we were having a chat. He did say like that it's unfair on chaps to have kind of even in later games that they, you know, it's not like adults that they have a full day's work to put in to take their mind off something. You know, these chaps, like, predominantly would be just thinking about the game. You know what I mean? And it's like, give them a chance kind of and have it on earlier in the day or whatever. But I think I don't care what Westmead have. Like, I'd see enough in those Carroll lads to take on anyone. It wouldn't. I don't think it's going to bother them, like. And yeah, the roadmap is pretty clear to get a result. I think they're out maybe again the following week. So like onwards and upwards. I know the minor hurlers, I missed that one a couple of weeks back, and I actually missed the Carroll senior footballers on Wexford as well. Maybe that's no harm. We might not go there. But you know, the minor hurlers did fairly well against Kildare. Okay. It didn't look good on the scoreboard coming towards the end of it, but I think they put themselves about, and you know, a few guys looking pretty good to make the step there. And yeah, you know, you mentioned there, I think, Brian, the 20s footballers and
the spring, yeah, like, thing. And obviously the Andrew Carden Cup means so much to Carroll people in general for a start. But you can't bait a win. There's no baiting it, whether it's tiddlywinks or what it is. A win is a win. And just watching back, I couldn't get to the game myself, but even watching back the clips of the goals, Liam Gavin, Robbie Labu, but Liam Gavin bagging two goals. And, you know, like, just after a horrible result against it with the seniors against Wexford. And like, and only for the women winning Division 4 and giving us all sort of a sense of relief, really, for the 20s to get that win, you kind of felt, oh, okay, it's not. Because even being in work or lads texting or WhatsApp groups or whatever, like, it was starting to feel doom and gloom there for 10 days, 2 weeks, you know. So that win tonight was kind of like, all right, okay, let's not completely panic just yet. But no, great win.
Absolutely was, Brian. And like in all their games, they have been really competitive. And that is the important thing. As we said, it is developmental. You have to be competitive and you have to get stuck in and, you know, bring your learnings. I know people don't like that term, learnings, but take something from it, bring it forward and make yourself a better player. And if you look at the roadmap of results or whatever, okay, results haven't been hectic, but they've been thereabouts in all of them. They were fiercely unlucky against Laois. They actually bossed that one. Laois took their chances. They punished Carlow. The Wicklow one, okay, to me that looked slightly more comprehensive. The Wexford one, they were very much in it. These are, of course, are the Leinster Championship games we're talking about as such. Mm. And they just didn't get the results, but they were in it, and you could see they have talented footballers. So, you know, that victory the other night is definitely great to see. And the goal is, like, I seen a couple of the highlights there that John Nolan put up, and fair play to him. It was great to see them after the games or whatever. Gavin took the goals very well, as did Killian Brady. But man, the leap that John Perry has is just freakish. Like, you know, he had no right to keep that ball in. I think it was for Gavin second. And take Notting away, it was a super finish as well. Well, Perry is a serious athlete.
And like, I'm looking forward to meeting him someday. But I looked at his interview afterwards, and you're just not expecting the thick Carlow accent, are you? Like the Carlow Town accent, heavy as you like, whatever. Like, and as a result, then when you hear the accent, you're definitely not expecting the leap either. Like, you know, because it doesn't. They're not well known.
And what's that Bowron thing, right? I think he's Ola brought Alaska in the county final last year. Feck it, is it? It's not a Bowron anyway, but it has the head of a Bowron with the, like, a fucking Europa League trophy base on it.
Oh, some kind of a bongo?
Yes. I think that's exactly it. Yeah. He brought that to the final. I was class. It just brought brought a lot of fun and everything to it. It was really, really good. But no, he's been excellent. Like, and Tom Dillon, a chap I'd like to give a shout out to. Like, he stood out for me in the championship for Grange last year. He pulls out of nothing, and I'd rather have a lad like that all day long that's in him. And okay, he should have a word at whatever stage and tell him to tone down a bit. I'd rather be doing that than trying to get that into someone, you know.
Yeah.
You need a bit of cutting. Like, that lad will not shy away from ratting. Like, Alex Laney's a big, strong defender. Like, Shane Cormigan was a tasty forward for Grange in last year's championship, if memory serves me correct. He's back corner back, and he's doing pretty good back there too, you know what I mean?
And the two boys on the same side as well. I always reckoned at county level there was sense in putting two lads who from the same club on the same side, because you would assume straight away there might be a sense of trust or a bit more of understanding. But then I would have taken Shane Cormigan absolutely to be a tasty corner forward. But he's done a bit of a Barry John Malai on it, who was our best forward growing up in the fourth under 16 and ended up becoming our best defender. Like, so
I never knew that was the case, because he looks so natural as a cornerback. Benny Cowden was the same, actually, Brian.
That wouldn't surprise me. Benny's better to take a score.
Yeah,
fair enough.
He was converted as well. Like, that half back line that Carroll 20s have, Mark Mullen, Alex Delaney and Tom Dillon, I'd make an argument that is as good a half-back line as you will get anywhere. I think they are cracking footballers. I think it's a really talented side. Like, big Kyle Nolan in the middle, he played, you know, limited amount of football for Fair Oak seniors last year and came in against St. Joseph's and was absolutely outstanding in the Leinster Championship. Like, you know, they're a really, really good side, and I'm delighted they got the result. I think they're out Tuesday night against Westmeath in Kinnegad, I think it is. I don't know if there's a time... Maybe 7 or half 7 or something like that. Check up carloga.ie.
Something else that stands out, Kev, on that 20s team, I'm just pull up the team to remind myself there, but every second in that I look at, and when I think back to last year's club championship, be it in junior A, intermediate or senior, these are names that were prominent. Do you know? Mm-hmm. Whether it's... the last time I seen Mark Mullen playing, I think he actually came off injured. Was it the quarterfinal or...
Yeah, he got a bit of hardship last year in the championship at a crucial time.
Yeah. Josh Brady broke our hearts with the with the penalty.
Josh Egan, even like 2 years ago, Brian, like I couldn't believe Josh Egan was still under 20. Josh Egan was Palatine near enough their best player when they won the championship at senior level 2 years ago. Like, that's
No, 100%. And I think, aren't Josh and Keelan, they're brothers, aren't they?
They're twins,
Are they twins, are they?
Yeah. I think they are, I'm fairly certain. Yeah. If they're not outright twins, they must be definitely Irish twins. But I think they are outright. They look the absolute spitting image of each other. I think they are twins, to be honest. But,
and then our own fella, Raffili's, Adam Burgess, our middle of the field, like, he is an athlete. And, like, I can't wait to see him making the... the step up to becoming one of our kind of go-to guys from a club perspective. I've no doubt he'll do it at county as well, like, you know. But that's the 20s, and the best luck to them on
Tuesday.
Ladies, I had a chat with Idel, Hayden and Ella the other night on your behalf, and we had a good bit of crack. But they're in, and like, I wouldn't have been overly familiar with the structure of the latest championship, but they were explaining it very well on the chat the other night. And so they've had a 2 week break after like a really hectic period of game after game and all the training that goes with it. And then they train tomorrow night, and then they're against Loud on Sunday,
I think it is.
So it's a group stage, so they also have to play, I think it's Kilkenny, and they play
Longford, I think.
And Longford as well. Yeah. So they've got those three important games coming up, and they have the All-Ireland Series to look forward to regardless of results. So, like, it's an exciting time to be not only a ladies footballer, but a ladies footballer supporter in Carlow as well.
Ah, sure it is. And as you mentioned there, it did give everyone a massive lift, you know, and thanks for filling in, obviously, and getting the content together.
You're under pressure.
I was under a lot of pressure, a serious amount of pressure. But that was fantastic. Yeah, I had a lot going on the day of that game. Now, I won't lie, that was a particularly busy day. We did get to see the result or whatever as it had come through. Like, and I think, you know, Maeve O'Neill struck again. Like, just this a kid, basically. You know what I mean? Producing moments like that in both a semi-final and a final. And, yeah, like, it was so deserved. They have had unbelievable heartbreak over the past number of years. Like, and, you know, as Adele said there, I think 01 was her debut. 23 years later, like, there hasn't been much success over and back. Like, I think there might have been a couple of Leinster juniors or whatever. And at the time, just not to be doing a disservice, but there could have been only two or three teams maybe in the goddamn thing. Like, so, you know, there's nobody able to take away that Division 4 title from them, because a lot of the teams are of an even standard. And, you know, it was an impressive victory. All Ireland, who knows what will happen? I mean, Leinster will take Leinster for what it is and see how they go on there. But All Ireland credentials, yeah, absolutely. They have them. They have them in abundance, and they've got great depth, a great spread of clubs. And it's been a massive lift. And I think the under-14s possibly have a Leinster final to look forward to against Clare this weekend.
Yeah.
As well. I know the 16s finished up a few weeks ago. They got a couple of top-class results as well. I think Barry Hayes was involved there. And there's a clatter lads actually involved. I'm not going to start laying them out one by one because I will forget someone. But things are moving well. Like, and I mentioned this a few weeks back. If you look at the underage structure from a lady's point of view and the caliber of players coming through and all that, like, they're producing a fairly good roadmap. And gone are the days that mimic what the lads do. I think maybe we have a bit of learning from possibly what they're at.
Yeah.
In many respects, I don't mean that in a disingenuous way whatsoever.
100%.
They're literally reaping what they're sowing, and they've had their difficulties. I know you mentioned pitches and all that, you know.
That's the thing. And like, sometimes you wonder, are you better off to not mention that and just focus on the football that they're playing and concentrate on the success, especially when it's taken them so long to get there? They just focus on that element of it. And at the same time, you know, you can't paper over cracks and stuff either. And in this day and age, there's no way a senior inter-county team should be making phone calls the day of or the day before a training session trying to see what pitch will be made available to them. You know, that's just unacceptable. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure, and to give everyone in Carlow GAA their credit, everyone's volunteers, everyone's trying their best. I totally understand that. And I know when it comes to the Fenna and the training centre and the work that's going in there, and there's a development committee, and they're doing their best to drive it on. And I'm sure there's some kind of an argument about whether or not women's club teams pay towards Fenn Anders. I know when the JP McManus money was coming, that was a consideration. I know all of those things. But you can put all that into a little ball and park it over there. And the very simple question is, should a senior inter-county ladies team who have just won promotion have access to the training centre, no matter what it takes? And the simple answer is yes. You know, regardless of all those other things, and they're all important, and everyone's doing their best, they just should have access to the training centre. It can't be.
Yeah.
There's three or four pitches down there. I'm sure that we could make it available to them.
Yeah, definitely.
And they've earned it now at this stage. That's the point, you know.
They have. Like, they've earned their crust. Like, they're a flagship team now. You know, they're a flagship team. They've won a league title. And yet, there has been conversations about that JP money, and I think they are still ongoing, and that might be the case for the men's side of things too. We won't go into the ins and outs of that, but I think there is a little bit about that, and there's a few conversations to be had. One thing though, like, and I did ask Cleaney Hay this, and I think I asked Rachel Sawyer this, on the whole integration side of it, Brian. I mean, when we see things like that, you'd be thinking, right, integration has to be a benefit or a plus, right? But then I look at the Camogie side of things, and I see this whole topic of scores and it being voted against and not letting them wear it. And, like, just to put a disclaimer, this is not a thing of the men's taking in the women as if they're fucking refugees. Sorry, I don't mean to be like that, but that's how it sounds sometimes. That Osher will take in the women, will take in the ladies' football, and take in the Camogie. It's actually unity, like, so the three are supposed to come together. You could argue, for sure, the men's are coming over to the women's games as well. You can flip it wherever you want.
Yeah.
The point I'm making is, the concern I would have is that when you see things like that happening as a separate entity, you'd wonder, does integration actually... I'm not against integration, by the way. But will just integrating solve a problem like a scored issue? I'd be saying to myself, lads, if you can't sort out this thing as a separate entity, like, at least make yourselves presentable as an organisation and do the common sense approach and give someone the comfort to wear whatever the jizz they like in order to play the game to the best of their ability and not be thinking about it. And it might sound a bit pedantic and, you know, well, it is important. No,
and I think the key thing, 100%, I agree with you 100%. And the key thing with the SCART debate was, it wasn't even that they were getting rid of the SCARTs. It was just simply to give women the option.
Yeah.
It's just the option. And maybe you'll find that the vast majority of them, for whatever reason, might actually prefer them. Maybe there's more leg room in them. Don't know. I've never worn one. But the just not giving the option. And
yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Don't get me wrong. I absolutely, there's nothing worse than if you go to watch a football match, men or women, shorts or skirts. And if you were going to watch Lochinbridge against Pal in a game, right? And Lochinbridge lads go out and you guys wear black shorts, right?
Mm.
Your centre forward goes out and he's wearing your kit and he's wearing white shorts. Mm. That does look cat.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even talking about that. We're just talking about whether there's a piece of material in the middle or not. That's really the difference between a skirt and a shorts, right? So, like, what's the big deal, you know?
And look, you know, they had their platform on Sunday from a Camogie point of view in Croke Park, and yet most of the discussion is about something like that. Instead of like, and you know, they have to talk about it, and that is the platform to do it if it is an issue, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the amount of good hurling in that senior final in particular, and there was some good moments in the Westmeath and Derry game. Was Westmeath and Derry, wasn't it? I think it was, yeah. Yeah. Like, there was good moments in that, but there was seriously high skill levels in the senior one, and they're moving the right direction on the field of play. But Jesus, sometimes you see things off the field and you're like, lads, get it. Now, the lads, the Gaelic Athletic Association is the very same. There is so much that can be worked upon. And you see that, like, everyone says common sense, but everyone's interpretation of common sense, of course, is different as well. But integration is probably a topic for a completely different day. And I know I don't want to be taking up too much of your time. I'm okay for a few minutes extra. But the concern I would have from an integration point of view is that, like, we all know clubs are paying managers and they can put it up as, you know, expenses or dress mutton up as land whatever way you want, but clubs are paying managers. They have been since God was a young fella. It's not changing. But if the ladies then have an outside manager that they're paying, right, and if the Camogie side have a manager that they're paying, and if they are integrated as such, where is this money coming from? Where does this come from all of a slap? Because, like, you might be giving your, I don't know, your senior football manager 100 quid. If you have a hurling club, maybe he's getting 100. The ladies manager could be getting 100. The Camogie manager could be getting 100. And you're in a small area. Okay, Collection don't have all these teams, for example. But just say if it was Collection, for argument's sake. Right, the money that you're asking now for maybe a Scots Bouncing Castles is after increasing fourfold. And not every company that you go to will be able to give you that. So where does this get resourced? And where's the financial element coming in? It's a serious topic for debate. Like, I'm not against it, but 100%. I'm really intrigued to see how they're going to make it work, Brian. You know what I mean?
Definitely. There's a brilliant book, Christy O'Connor, Dura Bearfield.
Fantastic. The club. Yeah.
The club. Mm. Unbelievable book. Mm. And the things he was talking about almost 20 years ago now.
It's definitely about 15. I think it's about 15 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
There are some clubs, and like, that's a club that he was involved with, a club who won an All Ireland Senior Club Championship.
Mm.
And that club are now a football club. Hurling has become the secondary sport, right? And part of that is down to the fact that I'm paraphrasing stuff that he said in the book now, but that, like, the structures weren't put in place. Success can paper over an awful lot of cracks.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You win a championship, right? And I think that's a county final, and you win, right? Everyone's a great lad. And it doesn't matter that there's no bulbs in the floodlights back in the pitch at home, because actually we get to that, we won the championship now, which, you know. And the problem is, and I think one of the key things he used to talk about in the book was having a coach, having, never mind paying managers, every club should go and have a full-time coach whose job is to nurture the coaching of every single team.
Hmm.
Like a 9-to-5 job, if you like, or a 12-to-midnight job or whatever. And like, I think the concept of a coach needs to change in people's minds. It's not the lad to stand on the sideline going, go hard, go hard. It's actually someone to coach the skills of the game and coach the way the modern teams are playing in different styles. And like, and Paul Broderick won't mind me telling this, but I remember having a chat with Paul Broderick one evening, and he was saying that no one ever at any stage in his coaching, no one ever said, "Now, Paul, this is how you should run for that ball," or "This is how you should jink this way, jink that way, and then run." Or no one ever coached him how to time a run. Even he figured that all out on his own. Now people will say, "But that's natural skill, and that's how everyone does it." But I mean, if you really want to for a club to be sustainable and progressive, you need to have a full time coach that's looking after the coaching of every single team. And then at certain levels, okay, you bring in a manager who can put in a system or whatever the hell, but at least everyone is on the same page as the same coaching. The skill level should be relatively, there should be a baseline of skill level, basically. So I'm rambling now.
No, I think it's a fantastic point. And, you know, there are arguments made, and, you know, I'm not going to name a name in particular, but man, we both know quite well, has said for years, if a portion of the money that is pumped into paying a senior manager every year is pumped in to literally what you just said, mm-hmm. where is your club then? Nobody wants to, and I actually agree with him, like, he's won me over time. Like, we've had serious debates on this, and, like, you know, you can see people would say, right, get a big name in, get lads up to the field, and, you know, you get buy-in and all that. And you win this one championship, as you said, it's bright, shiny cup. It looks fantastic. And it means the world to people. And then there's nothing for another whatever amount of years. If your people want it yesterday, right? That's what it is. Want success yesterday. But if you're prepared to wait and invest and build it up over time, like Manchester Rangers didn't become a serious club overnight. If you look at them and take them as a template, you know, they had to build and build and build.
And I'm sure none of them could. And then I got paid for it, like, you know.
No, that's the thing. I would 100% be in agreement with you now with this. And
the big name that comes in and gets the buys over the line, wins the championship, and you forget about the four or five lads that maybe walked away from the panel during the year because they weren't getting the game in the league. Or
yeah.
They played a couple of games in the league and then the county boys came back and they got dropped.
And what's forgotten about in all this is that the players had to be of a standard to be in a position to win a championship. Yeah. And someone else has got them there, or a group of different people have got them there from good coaching the whole way up along. Like, he just didn't come in and wave a magic wand. Look at Mick O'Dwyer or Wicklow, right? Let that be the example. Okay, did it in Leash. They were serious players, other than minors. Ever. Wicklow didn't have much credentials as, you know, underage kingpins or anything like that. But Mick, when he went down, and he got some top-class results, like, because they had good footballers and he instilled a bit of belief. But that came from good coaching elsewhere. So, look, I know if you go on forever about it. Yeah.
And the very last point, it's not that the coach that you imply starts in the field at 5:30 on a Thursday evening and stays training every single team. But he sets in place the schedules. He sets in place what the development should be so that at under 12, you're learning these skills and you're honing these skills. At under 14, you're starting to tweak it slightly. And that coach has to go to the club committee meetings and say, here's the progression. This is why you're paying me money. Kevin Regan came in. He couldn't solo the ball with one leg. Now he can solo on two. Do you know? And that kind of progression. Whereas when you've all volunteers, you've all parents involved, it's very, very hard to haul them into a meeting and say, Jesus, you know, you got hammered 4-14 to no score. Like, you can't do that to an amateur volunteer who is just trying to do their best and maybe with very limited knowledge of the game or experience of the game themselves. We're so thankful to get the volunteers that we have. So
absolutely, they're prepared to give up their time.
You can't haul them over the coals. So the solution is you get a coach in who's responsible for nurturing the every single team, particularly under level. Like at senior, you're dealing with adults. People want to make commitments, and you can do mad things and do beer bans, and you can bring in dietitians. You can do all that kind of stuff because you're dealing with adults. But to get base level of skill and a base level of even such things as understanding why you have to volunteer in a club and that's not okay, really, just to get to senior level and maybe drop off and never give that back to the club that gave you so much, do you know?
Exactly.
Like, you've got to give,
like,
it back.
Think about it from like a very simple piece of mathematics. Eight teams in the Carlow Senior Football Championship this year. So seven of those teams will go away disappointed. And they'll have pumped in the same amount of time, effort, energy, possibly money, as the team that's won it, but only one can win it. So where is that really a good investment then? Are we just like looking at this? Is it just a pie in the sky kind of stuff? And the same with the hurling championship. We find teams that will have invested all that and will have nothing to show for it. And just think about where it's pumped in. No, I think it's definitely something. A couple of things I would like to mention, and maybe a couple of curveballs to throw at me. But Shane Murray of Murray's Bar in Ballymurphy is obviously a very kind sponsor of ours. He is involved with the Carlow Minor Camogie side. They are up against Armagh in Dungannon in the All-Ireland B minor semi-final at the weekend. So I want to give that a shout out. I think, let me just get the exact time. It is on Sunday, I'm almost certain. Yeah, 2:30 up in Dungannon. So we wish them the very best luck. And the other one, of course, that we want to mention is Mick Keogh's Minor Footballers. That,
yes,
you know, again, just that over the past couple of weeks, that the way things worked out, I would have liked them to have done a bit more content. But I have seen them in most of their games. I got to see half the Wicklow game kind of the other day, and I'm hoping to have some bit of a report done up. I do believe that they're out on the 18th of May. I think they're out with the Leinster Championship kind of proper now, the A version of it anyway. And the Carlow Minor Hurlers thing could be out on the 18th of May also. But, I mean, you know, Mick is a big man for competitive and being competitive and, you know, all that kind of stuff as well. And, look, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, and it would be, he'd only be human if he wasn't. Very disappointed, obviously, after the game against Wicklow on Saturday down in Knockroom. I think it was about 2:14, maybe to 5. It finished, or maybe something along those lines. But again, like, if I'd turned that off at half time, I wouldn't have thought there'd be 15 points in it in the second half, because, like, the chaps really got stuck in again. And I hate, like, being so bland about it, but so many teams don't do it. They hopped off lads' shoulders, and there's a little bit of shithousery in there. Let's use that term, right? Maybe just hold up play for a minute. They showed that they cared, you know. Yeah. And in all their games so far, while results haven't quite gone their way, again, you're looking at promise. You're looking at players like Aaron Dowland that stood out for me. Young Craddock is a good bit of stuff. Dara Byrne, I thought the other day at wing back for the half hour I saw was really good. Ross Moore in a full back. Like, that's just naming out four. I've seen something in nearly all of them at different stages to say to myself, they are going to be very good, at least adult club footballers. There's someone that will be very good senior county footballers, some that will be very good 20s footballers. Basically, lots of potential, lots of good stuff happening. And again, just to reiterate, like, and some people would say, well, no, it is about results. Is it really? Like, this is under 17 now. It's not old school minor. In effect, they even look younger. I know they are younger by a year, but they look maybe 2 years younger than what old school minor was. Like, some of those minor photos from the 80s, the boys look about 40. I don't know what it is in the 70s and 80s. What was going on? Maybe he's a dodgy bursar, but look, he's putting in a lot of work, and I know, like, he takes it quite seriously. I know he has a few ideas in the pipeline as well, which you won't really kind of divulge here in this particular podcast, but he has got ideas. He's very open-minded on how maybe we can drive things on another notch and improve things kind of globally across the county. Yeah. So watch this space.
Definitely. Well, I threw you a load of lemons and you made a lot of lemonade. So fair play to you, sir. And our congratulations to you again. Best luck to all Carlow teams out and about this weekend. You'll have the full support of the Left Wing Back podcast, and hopefully we'll get some good content and some interviews over the weekend as well. But from me, Bod, and from Kev, that's it.
Thanks a million, Dunzer. Pleasure as always.
Thanks, Kev.